Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today's show is our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show with the Minnesota Department commanders from the VFW, American Legion, and Disabled American Veterans. But before we get started, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Happy birthday to the National Guard. The National Guard traces its origins to the militias of the 13 original English colonies in North America. The oldest units were organized on December 13, 1636, in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. The Founding Fathers recognized the importance of the militia by writing it into the U.S. Constitution. They divided power over the militia between the individual states and the federal government. This dual state-federal organization still characterizes the National Guard today. Throughout our history, the Guard has often been an invisible force among you and the community. We could be sitting in the office next to you, or the mechanic fixing your car. Maybe we are the farmer in a distant field, or a police officer directing traffic. Yet make no mistake, when a domestic crisis hits, or the call to arms is declared, the National Guard transforms, emerging from the general population to serve as citizen soldiers and airmen. On behalf of the nearly 14,000 men and women of your Minnesota National Guard, it's an honor to serve our state and nation.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the Minnesota's VFW Department Commander, Dewey Hermanson. Dewey, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Dewey, it's Christmas time already. What happened to 2015?
Well, that sure went fast again this year.
So the first half of your year in office is just about behind us, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
For those listeners that may not have heard you the last couple times you were on the show, now you were in the United States Army Reserve?
Yes.
For how many years, Dewey?
32 years.
That's good. That's just a couple, isn't it?
Just a couple.
And you've retired now, and you're currently serving as the Veteran of Foreign Wars State Commander for Minnesota, also referred to as the Department Commander.
Yes.
How are our VFWs doing this year?
VFWs are doing great this year. Little slack in membership, but, you know, it's still early, and we have over 6 months remaining in our year.
And how many members do you have?
42,000.
42,000 members in Minnesota, and how many posts?
About 236 posts.
That's quite a few guys and
gals. Yes, it is.
Dewey, how are the VFW posts doing during the holidays? Do they have a lot of activities going on?
Yes, they do. They have many things going on with Christmas parties for children. We have a lot of VFW posts that provide the children in need Christmas gifts that they may not receive. And they bring in veterans and their families for Christmas dinners, Christmas parties. They support a lot of things during the Christmas holidays.
Dewey, as I recall from the post that I've belonged to for decades, around the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, they also put together some food packages and bring Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner out to some folks that maybe can't afford it.
Yes, they do. I know down in our area we have a VFW that every year they serve about 250 families prior to Thanksgiving.
So do they bring them in for dinner, or do they take the goods out to the house and let them cook their own?
They bring them in for dinner.
Okay. Well, I know the Hopkins VFW used to put together the packages, and they'd bring the turkey and all the trimmings and deliver it to 15 or 20 families that maybe couldn't afford that. And that was a great activity, too.
Yes, it is. We have a few posts that still do that.
So are there still some parades this time of year?
Yes. We had a local parade down in our area. It's called Deck the Falls, and every year we have a the parade seems to get bigger in our small community.
So it's healthy down in your neck of the woods.
Yes, it is.
All right. And then all year long, of course, we've got veterans up at the Minneapolis VA Hospital and at the old soldiers' home and in nursing homes. And some of our VFW folks go out and visit?
Yes, they do. They're very involved in during the holidays at the VA hospital and the homes. They take them out. Getting Christmas shopping. They gather Christmas gifts as donations from post members and auxiliary members so that they can get a Christmas gift.
And I've seen, Dewey, that some of the VFWs even put together a little bus trip occasionally, and they go up to St. Cloud.
Yeah, they do that, too. It's a great thing that they do out here, and the VFW members and the auxiliary members all combine and get together, and it's great to have them visit the veterans at these homes.
We're speaking with Dewey Hermanson, the department commander from Minnesota's VFW on Minnesota Military Radio. Dewey, can you just share with us, there's a lot of veterans out there that maybe have never joined a VFW, but what's the primary mission of the VFW and the post?
Primary mission for the VFW and the post is taking care of our veterans and our families of veterans. This is what the Veterans in Foreign Wars was organized for back after 1899, and it still continues today. The primary number one mission is taking care of veterans and their families. We're also very involved within our communities, from the schools to our local community area. A lot of money gets donated back to the community and the schools.
And Dewey, we mentioned membership a few minutes ago, but some of our World War II veterans are leaving us fast, and Korean guys are getting up there, and in my group, Vietnam, they're right behind you. Are our young veterans that have served in all these wars, are they joining?
They're joining very slowly. I feel that a lot of times the next generation here coming up, a lot of them are not joiners. They also are not into the bar scene. And so my goal this year has been trying to get the younger veterans coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan to know that we're not a bar. We are actually a VFW post, and we are trying to get more out in the community. And we've done a lot this year.
Dewey, you told me that you've got 236 posts, but I think you also told me that less than half of those even have a club for the refreshments and meals.
That's correct. About 111, 113 have a club.
But it's really not all about that, is it?
No, it's not. We are post first, club is secondary.
And I think you told me that a lot of your VFW posts have been active with care packages to troops that are deployed.
Yep, every year. And I can remember when I was over there in 2004, 2005, that it was great to get a care package from home.
Not just during the holidays, but during the whole deployment.
Oh, during the whole deployment was great, but Christmas meant a lot. And we would get Christmas decorations so that we could somewhat decorate a tree over there. So care packages are great. I hope the VFW and the auxiliary still continues doing that in the years to come.
So I shouldn't be surprised you show me a picture of your house with all of those Christmas decorations on it. Shouldn't be surprised when I hear that you found a way to put up some kind of a tree when you were deployed, Dewey.
We did. We had the warning siren that was in a stand and about 20 feet in the air, and a few of us got together and picked up an artificial tree, and we put it up there and decorated with lights.
Good work, Dewey. I should have known you would do that. Well, we've just got about a minute left, but we've talked about Christmas dinners and holiday parades and visiting the nursing homes and collecting gifts for veteran homes and sending care packages all year long to the troops that are deployed overseas. VFW really is engaged in a lot of community effort and a lot of effort to support our veterans and our current service members, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, and you're smiling pretty broad when you talk about that. So you really enjoy that, don't you?
I do enjoy it.
All right, Dewey, we're just about running out of time here. I want you to stick around. We're going to talk to the commander of the American Legion and the commander of the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans. And then in the fourth segment, we're going to come back and talk a little bit about the commander's task force and some of the things that you all work together to do to help our veterans here in Minnesota. So we're speaking with Dewey Hermanson, Minnesota's VFW Department Commander. We'll be right back on Minnesota Military Radio with the American Legion Commander. Thanks, Dewey.
Thank you.
June 6th, 1944, D-Day. Tom Lyons here from Minnesota Military Radio. Join me next spring on the D-Day beaches in Normandy, France. We'll fly from the Twin Cities, 10 days, 9 nights, fully escorted luxury tour, Omaha and Utah beaches, Point du Hoc, where President Reagan spoke, Battle of the Bulge, Bastogne, stand at General Patton's gravesite. Let's cruise on the bullet train, not once but twice. $37.89, and that includes your airfare, the Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame, the Palace of Versailles, and the Arc de Triomphe. Call my friends at Conservative Tours for all the details. 888-733-9494. That's 888-733-9494. Or go to conservativetours.com. The Nazi surrender at Reims, fine dining, luxury hotel in Paris. I've waited my whole life to experience the D-Day beaches. Join me for this historic mission. I'll see you at the Mulberry Harbor.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we were doing our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show, and we've talked to the VFW commander, and now joining me here is Jim Kellogg, who is the American Legion Department commander. Jim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having us.
Jim, for our listeners that maybe missed you the last time you were here, you were in the Air Force?
Yes, sir.
Back in 1969?
69 to 73.
And you served some time over in Thailand.
It's been a year.
It's been a year over there, and exciting year, Jim.
It was interesting.
Interesting. <Yeah. laughs> And you came back from there and went into the family business. You've been running the family farm for a long time now.
A little over 40 years.
And you're still farming.
They still let me do that so far.
That's great, Jim. And you're also this year the department commander for Minnesota for the American Legion. And can you share with us, what is the mission of the American Legion here in Minnesota?
The mission of our American Legion in Minnesota is pretty much the same mission as we have nationwide and worldwide. It's to assist the families of those who have served and those who are departed, and to also those who are serving, to ensure that their veterans' rights and that they've said that they have earned aren't taken away, and they're preserved for this generation and generations to come.
And, Jim, you're about halfway through your year. Are you putting on a lot of miles this year?
I'm putting on miles and weight.
Uh-oh. You're eating well out at the American Legion Post.
They feed us tremendously well.
And you can't leave it on the plate, can you?
There's a rule against that.
I understand. I grew up on a farm, too, Jim. So how many posts have you visited? Quite a few of them?
Oh, I've been in, I suppose I'm working on the second dozen now.
Well, that's great. Now, how many members does the American Legion have in Minnesota?
American Legion has around 80,000 members in the state of Minnesota. Legionnaires, there's around 30,000 auxiliary and about 10,000 sons of the American Legion.
And how many posts?
550.
550 posts. And out of those posts, some of them are just posts. How many of them have, like, food and beverages?
Well, if they followed the national trait, it would be, I suppose, not much over a third.
About a third or so.
About a third, yeah.
Yeah, of course, the legions all have monthly meetings for their members.
Some do. Some don't meet as often. You know, some will meet quarterly. Okay. It depends upon location and that kind of thing. And some just traditionally meet quarterly. Some meet every other month. The majority of them do meet monthly.
Well, Jim, here we are almost Christmas time. I don't know what happened to 2015, but it's mid-December, and good to see you back in the studio. What kind of activities are your members of the American Legion up to during the holiday season?
Well, most recently, I was out here up here in the metro area, and they have what they call Shop, Ship, and Share. And it's a program that's started out actually by the Postal Department years ago, and it's taken over by the American Legion. And they get donations from area businesses, and then they actually have children in the schools write up color pictures and put Christmas greetings on them, and then they gather together and actually spend the better part of 2 days putting all these into boxes. And they raise some cash donations. They welcome those readily to help assist in the shipping costs. When you're sending 850 packages, it takes several thousands of dollars. And they all go priority mail, and they're shipped not just always to the servicemen. Some of those are packages we made up. The first time I'd really helped with it a lot was this year. But it's interesting to find some of the things that go into those packages, because actually I kind of questioned it. I says, what are these servicemen going to do with color crayons, and paper dolls and those kind of things? Well, they actually go to the villages for the children in the villages to kind of try to establish a good rapport with them and the servicemen who are serving there. So it was a nice activity to be part of.
So the deployed servicemen actually give you a list of items that they'd like to have for various purposes, like sharing with the children where they are.
That's the way I understood they came in, yes. And it's our fourth district here in St. Paul that supports it. But we come in from all over the state of Minnesota to assist with it. And one of the gentlemen that was working was a World War II veteran, a carpetbagger. And I tell you what, you better be ready, because when he's got a box ready, he'll send it right down the line to you, and one right after another. He was just great help and was fun to work with.
And he was there to make sure that today's troops were taken care of.
Yep.
And some of the other items in those boxes are just some hygiene items, some other things that aren't readily available to those troops.
Right. Comfort items, you know, things like that.
Well, that's a great deal, and we should caution our listeners that you can't just prepare a gift box and dump it on somebody's doorstep. We have to know who it's going to, and there are special rules applied, and the best thing for our listeners to do if they want to be involved in that is call the American Legion and help out with the shop, ship, and share, or get a hold of one of your Yellow Ribbon organizations or communities around the state and help them, because they'll know the rules.
Oh, they do. They definitely do. Yeah, no, it's. I believe they started one out in St. Cloud this year now, too, same kind of activity.
That's great stuff, Jim. We're speaking with Jim Kellogg, the Minnesota's American Legion Department Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Jim, are there some special events that happen around the holidays around the state?
A lot of the holiday events center around gifting. Our auxiliary does a tremendous job. They set up in the hospitals themselves gift shops where the person that's in the hospital, the patient, has the opportunity to go and pick out a gift for their family or their spouse. And they do this. They raise cash donations during the entire year, and then they purchase items and put them there for their for these gentlemen or ladies, whatever they might be, to comfort items, those type of things. So they can actually gift things at Christmas to their own families.
Now, Jim, I know we've talked about this before, but all year long, your posts engage in a lot of activities to help the local communities, to help veterans, to go to the hospitals. There's a lot of good work being done, isn't there?
Oh, there definitely is. Today, as a matter of fact, out in Hutchinson, Minnesota, they're doing a gathering, and it's just to support disabled children. And it's a gifting process they're doing, and they've got a set up with the school there, and the teachers bring the children there that they feel are disadvantaged or maybe handicapped and help them purchase items that they're able to give to their own family members. So, yeah, things like that. There's a lot of good things going on.
So they're helping the disabled children to share and participate in Christmas and help them do things they couldn't ordinarily do without the help.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Great stuff, Jim. And your members, you've got I think you're the largest veteran service organization in terms of members. Is that right?
That's true, yes.
And how's your membership? Is it growing? Is it shrinking? We're losing our World War II guys and...
Well, we're trying to hold our own. It's a tough job. You know, I'm a Vietnam-era veteran, and we're prime age now for heart attacks and those kind of things.
Don't say that, Jim.
So we kind of become the target group now, and actually that's the largest percentage of our membership right now are Vietnam-era veterans.
So our veterans that have served overseas since September 11, 2001, are they starting to join?
We're getting some, yes. Yeah, we're getting some. There are some posts that actually have entire leadership positions taken over by the Iran and Iraqi veterans, Afghan veterans.
So is that chart starting to change the focus of things a little bit?
Yes, it has, and it definitely needs to. It's time. Somebody's going to have to, you know, hopefully carry on and preserve those freedoms and those rights that we've so, you know, we all earned, and they certainly did also. And without a vigilant group to do that, they'll go by the wayside.
Jim, you and I probably both remember that when I joined the VFW, the World War II guys were worried about, where's these Vietnam guys? How come they're not joining?
Yes, they did.
But eventually we did.
Oh, yes.
And now it's the same kind of thing. Where's these Gulf War guys? Where are these people from today's deployments? But they're coming around, too.
Oh, yeah, they are. They are. They're more of the electronic age. You know, we're going to have some virtual posts out here before too much time passes.
Are you comfortable with that, Jim? You know how that works?
I don't have a problem with that at all. I think it'd be a great thing to have going. There are states that do have them in place now, and they work really well.
Well, it'll be fun to see how that works, Jim.
Yeah.
I guess they can teach us old guys a few new things, can't they?
Yeah, I certainly hope so.
Jim, for our listeners out there that might want more information about Minnesota's American Legion and where the posts are and all the things that you do, where can they find more information?
MNLegion.org. It's on the internet. That's our website. It's an interactive website that they can use, and they can, you know, contact posts. They can look over our programs for our state programs. They can look over our national programs. There are links there for all those things.
MNLegion.org.
Yes.
All right, Jim, we're going to ask you to stick around in the fourth segment. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about the Commander's Task Force. We're speaking with Jim Kellogg, the Department Commander of the American Legion on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay tuned. We're going to meet with the Commander of the DAV of Minnesota coming up next. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and this is our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show, and we've already talked to the department commanders from the VFW, the American Legion, and now we're joined by Greg Remus, who is the commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. And Greg, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Greg, for those that might not have heard you the last time you were in, you had a pretty successful career in the Army.
I did. I did 22 years active duty. Ended up retiring as Lieutenant Colonel in the MP Corps.
Well, congratulations, sir. And now you're serving as a County Veteran Service Officer.
Yes, up in Hubbard County, Park Rapids. I love the job, get to interact with the veterans and get to take care of them and help them apply for benefits.
You have a lot of veterans up in that county?
Oh, we've got about 2,000, and it's a 17,000-member community, but 2,000 are veterans.
And, of course, the one thing that we've said repeatedly on this show is that if you're a veteran in Minnesota and you haven't met your County Veteran Service Officer yet, go get your discharge, your DD-214, go meet your County Veteran Service Officer, get registered. You might not need him today, but you or your family might need him sometime in the future, and as long as you're registered and they've got your discharge certificate, they're there to help, and you make it your business to understand all of the resources available, don't you?
I do. It's so important to come in there. The bureaucracies that are out there with the VA are just enormous, and you can't expect an individual to be able to maneuver through that. So come in and see the CVSO.
And, Greg, one of the things we talk about every time you're on or your adjutant is on is the fact that the Disabled American Veterans raise a lot of money to buy vans to transport our veterans to and from their medical appointments.
We do. We just bought another van. We placed it up in Virginia. The CVSO up there has it. That's an expansion on the Northeast Transportation Program. We did the Northwest Transportation Program about 3 years ago, putting three vans out there, bringing veterans to the VAs for free, and then taking them home again. Now we've got two up in Duluth, and then we placed the one in Virginia so they can transport veterans to meet that transportation program, too.
And the one thing that we've been able to help you with a little bit, now that our network of stations that carry the show is up to 26 all over the state, is we've asked those network stations to run some public service announcements asking for drivers, because you need volunteer drivers, don't you?
We do. And you can contact us at www.dav.org. I'm sorry, davmn.org. Or we have a telephone number that you can call, too. It's 218-606-1111.
So the website, once again, is
www.davmn.org.
Davmn.org. So we need volunteer drivers, and you're always in need of those all over Minnesota, especially up in Duluth, I understand.
Right. We've got the two 14-passenger vans up there, and we need several drivers.
Greg, I understand that the DAV has established a scholarship for veterans.
We did. Set aside some money this last summer, and we set aside the money to give about $1,000 scholarship every semester at Hamline University. You have to be a veteran. You go online there, and I'd encourage you to apply.
So do they apply that for that through Hamline or through DAVMN.org?
They can find the information at DAVMN.org, but they do apply through Hamline.
Okay. We're speaking with Greg Remus, who is the commander of the DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Greg, we've heard from the VFW and the American Legion, and they both talked about their programs. One of them, Shop, Ship, and Share with the American Legion. And, of course, our VFW commander was also involved in putting together some gift boxes for our deployed members overseas. But one of the things that I saw in your information is just this. We should remind our visitors that there are many military deployed and stations overseas during the holidays. We should thank the military members who are serving. We should also recognize that there are family members in our communities who will be without their spouse or loved one who is serving, and it may be a difficult holiday season for those families. We should encourage people to reach out to these families and help them to get through the holidays. And, of course, when the service member sacrifices by being deployed and is over there and focusing on their mission, their families back here and the families are sacrificing as well, aren't they?
Right, they are. And it's a very emotional time for them, especially when they don't have their spouse there to support them.
So have you got, are you encouraging your chapters around the state to look out for some of those families during the holidays?
Well, I think all the service organizations do that. It's something that's very important. We bring the widows in, you know, after the veterans have passed away. And this is just one of those overlooked pieces oftentimes. And if you do have a unit that's located within your county or your area there, you can go to that unit and just maybe offer to volunteer there and just even contact the family members just to make sure that everything is taken care of. One of the ways that they take care of the families, too, is the Toys for Tots, and I think many of the organizations have that, and they're donating those things to the families.
They're both supporting Toys for Tots and another organization called Toys for, the number 4, Military Kids.
Yes.
Which operates here out of the VESE chapter of the AUSA, because there's some military families that might not be eligible for Toys for Tots, but they can get some help from Toys number 4, Military Kids, and you can Google that and find that as well.
That's great.
Greg, in the fourth segment of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about the Commander's Task Force, and I understand you're the chairman of that this year. And we want to talk about some legislative initiatives, but before we get to that, it is the commanders of the 9 veteran service organizations that are authorized here in Minnesota. And part of the reason you all get together is to try to coordinate your activities when you help, for instance, during the holidays and help support the families and those that are deployed.
Right, right. There's 3 purposes with the Commander's Task Force. And one is to just come together as an organization or as a composite organization to help address issues with veterans. The other 2 is that we are a legislative team. We come up with the legislative priorities in support of the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. And then the 3rd is that we act as an advisory board to the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. He comes to us with issues, and we advise him and try to push our organizations in a common direction to make things happen.
So you kind of give him a way to interact with all of your membership, because you hear from your members and you pass along some of that information to the commissioner.
We do. We do. It's a team effort out there, and we want to keep the CVSOs in that team too.
Okay, Greg, we're going to talk a little more about the Commander's Task Force on our holiday show when we come back in the 4th segment. But before we get to that, I know that you support some activities the DAV does in the summertime. You take some guys fishing and hunting and some of those things. Are there winter events coming up as well?
Oh, there are. I didn't bring the list. We do ice fishing trips. I think that there's going to be one at Mille Lacs. There's also going to be one at Lake of the Woods. I don't have that total list. It's called DAV Outdoors. And this year we've had trips that would go for pheasant hunting, deer hunting, goose hunting in Middle River. We think that we're going to have 500 veterans participate in these trips this year. And this is relatively new, too. We started this about 3 years ago.
And, of course, you just got done with your big DAV hunt up at Camp Ripley.
We did. We did. And then we had another one that was up by Beltrami County.
And it must be great for our disabled veterans to be able to get out in the woods, get out on the lake, get outdoors, and feel like they're back to themselves again.
In our chapter, there was one time where a World War II veteran that came back to the chapter meeting, and he had just gone to the DAV or the disabled deer hunt up at Camp Ripley, and he was almost crying when he was talking about deer hunting. He didn't see a deer, but it was the first time in 15 years that he had gotten out and he was able to go out and shoot at something, you know, and he was with his friends, and they were all veterans that were out there.
Just get out in the woods with the guys and
yep.
Enjoy the outdoors, and if you get a deer, that's a bonus.
Yes. Yes, that's it.
Well, those are great activities, and I know you're expanding them every year. And if our listeners want to find out more about that, they go to davmn.org and look for that page. What was it? Outdoor activities?
DAV Outdoors.
DAV Outdoors. A lot of stuff going on there, and it's easy to get involved. So just contact them from that website. Greg, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Commander's Task Force and all the great work that our veteran service organizations here in Minnesota come together to do. We're speaking with Greg Remus, commander of DAV of Minnesota, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. June 6th, 1944, D-Day. Tom Lyons here from Minnesota Military Radio. Join me next spring on the D-Day beaches in Normandy, France. We'll fly from the Twin Cities, 10 days, 9 nights, fully escorted luxury tour, Omaha and Utah beaches, Point du Hoc, where President Reagan spoke. Battle of the Bulge, Bastogne, stand at General Patton's gravesite. Let's cruise on the bullet train, not once but twice. $37.89, and that includes your airfare, the Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame, the Palace of Versailles, and the Arc de Triomphe. Call my friends at Conservative Tours for all the details. 888-733-9494. That's 888-733-9494. Or go to conservativetours.com. The Nazi surrender at Reims, fine dining, luxury hotel in Paris. I've waited my whole life to experience the D-Day beaches. Join me for this historic mission. I'll see you at the Mulberry Harbor.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. You're listening to the annual Commander's Task Force Christmas Show. And we're going to have all three commanders from the VFW, American Legion, and DAV of Minnesota with us in a few moments to talk about some legislative initiatives up at the Capitol. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
The Minnesota Commander's Task Force, or CTF, is made up of 9 congressionally chartered veteran service organizations here in Minnesota. They include the American Legion, American Ex-Prisoners of War, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Disabled American Veterans, Vietnam Veterans of America, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, the Marine Corps League, AMVETS, and Jewish War Veterans. The CTF acts as a single voice for the veterans of Minnesota. They meet regularly to discuss the issues affecting veterans and their families and facilitate communication among veteran service organizations. The CTF promotes legislative initiatives that are important to veterans and their families and represents them on the Hill. The CTF also acts as an advisory board to me, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Their advice is invaluable.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Our Christmas studio is full this time. We have the three commanders here from veteran service organizations, Greg Remus, DAV of Minnesota, Jim Kelly from the American Legion, and Dewey Hermanson from the VFW. And, Greg, I want to come back to you. We just heard the commissioner and said some nice words about the veteran service organizations here in Minnesota and how he's tied into you, and he uses you as a board of advisors. And this year, you're the chairman of that board.
Oh, I'm excited to be there, too. It's so important for us to come together as a unified group to make sure that we can lobby our legislature to get the benefits that we've earned.
So you actually pull all the veteran service organizations together, combine the membership, combine those voices, go up to the Hill and can talk to our state legislatures about some initiatives that affect our veterans, just as generation of veterans have done before us with the state capitol to make sure that we keep the promise.
Yes, yes, that's exactly what we do.
Now, it's December, it's Christmas time, and that means around the corner the legislature will be back in session. And so I'm sure you and your fellow commanders at the Commander's Task Force are working on some a list of issues that you want to push this year.
We have. We've already met two times, and we've come up with that list. Do you want to hear about maybe a couple of the issues?
Let's touch on a few of those. Why don't you give us the first one?
Okay, the first one is we'd like to have a permanent homestead market value exclusion for widows. At this point in time, if you're a veteran that's 70% or more disabled, you get $150,000 or $300,000 worth of exclusion of your property tax. If the veteran passes away, the widow gets to keep that exclusion for up to 8 years. We'd like to make that permanent for the widow.
That'd be a pretty nice Christmas present, wouldn't it?
It would. It would.
And Dewey, I want to come over to you. You and I were talking before the show a little bit about retirement benefits for our service members that stayed in service long enough to retire. These days, they're kind of looking around the United States saying, where am I going to live, and how much tax am I going to pay?
That's correct, Tom. You know, that's been on the issue for about the last quite a few years, actually, to get tax exempt for our military retirees. We're one of few states that are taxing our military retirees' benefits. We're losing veterans here every year, moving to other states that don't tax their retirement income. When we have military personnel that are retiring from active duty, they're not even looking at coming back to Minnesota. They're looking at staying in a state somewhere that they're not taxed. So that's going to be a hot issue again this year. We're going to keep our fingers crossed that this one gets passed this next year.
Dewey, I remember we discussed this last year on this show, and one of the facts that came out was that Wisconsin eliminated the tax on service members' retirement income about 10 years ago, and they had some solid proof that more and more of those veterans were moving back to Wisconsin, and a lot of them are young. They were taking jobs because they're in the 50s, so they're participating in the economy. They're bringing back their retirement benefits. They're spending money there. They proved without a shadow of a doubt that it was worthwhile.
That's right. And this is what we try and get our committee up here in the Hill to understand, that there's more than just what percentage we're going to lose on getting tax from military retirees, because we retain those personnel in Minnesota, and other taxes and other revenues being spent here in Minnesota.
Thanks, Dewey. Jim, you're the department commander of the American Legion. Glad you stuck around for this this segment. Is there a particular issue you'd like to talk about today?
Well, yes, there's a couple of them, actually. One of them is the expanded use of the Minnesota GI Bill. Unbeknownst to probably a lot of our veterans, Minnesota does have its own GI Bill. And currently, eligible veterans may use the Minnesota GI Bill to pay for the cost of tuition at higher education institutions. But paying for applications, exams, licensing, and other certifications are by the using the Minnesota GI Bill is not allowed. And we feel that by allowing a broader use of the GI Bill, the veteran could use their benefits at their discretion and in a more appropriate way. Along with that, another initiative is legislation to provide additional incentive to 100% service-connected disabled veterans to pursue higher education, enhancing their employability and better positioning themselves to succeed in the workforce. This, in the end, would reduce unemployment costs and numbers as it relates to veterans, and others estimated to bring long-term positive revenue effects for the state. So these are a couple of things that we're working on, probably focus more towards the younger veteran.
This is our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show, and we have the pleasure of having the department commanders from the VFW American Legion and DAV of Minnesota in the studio on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Greg, I want to come back to you. I know sometime next spring, every year, we have a I think they call it Veterans Day on the Hill, something like that?
Yes. Yep. It's called Vets on the Hill. And what we do is we meet over here at the Armory, and all the veterans come in. We bring in the key legislators who influence veterans issues, and then we walk around and we go meet with our individual legislators.
And I understand that the Commander's Task Force prints up a little brief on some of the legislation that's going on up there so that we can inform our veterans when they have an opportunity to talk to their elected officials.
Oh, we do. We try to go in as an organized body, making sure that we're touching on all the issues that we feel are appropriate to be touched on.
And we don't have a date for that yet, but when that gets closer, stay tuned to Minnesota Military Radio, because we'll advertise that date and we'll let you know where you can go to get that brochure from the Commander's Task Force for the veterans issues that are most important for this coming session. Greg, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
Oh, I was just looking for the date. It's March 16th.
Okay, we've got that, and we'll ask Sergeant Johnny to get that posted so everybody has it. Greg, are there some other legislative issues that you want to talk about? We've got about 4 minutes left.
Okay. There's another legislative issue is free deer hunting and small games license and fishing licenses. At this point in time, there's a set of veterans that are 100% disabled that get free licenses for fishing and deer hunting. We'd like to expand that to 50% vets, where there's a larger population that can go out and go hunt in Minnesota. It kind of fits in with the DAV Outdoors, too. It's something that really helps them with their mental health.
And these aren't just wish lists that we're taking up to the Capitol. These are some of the things that we're trying to do to take care of our veterans, just like we've tried to take care of them for decades, and to keep the promise that if you go off to war and you serve and you get wounded or disabled and you come back, you get the things you're entitled to, and we keep the promise.
Yes, yep.
All right, Dewey, we're going to come back to you. Gentlemen, we've just got a few minutes left. Dewey, any final thoughts about the Commander's Task Force or the VFW here in Minnesota?
No, I just want to reiterate that plea out to all veterans in the state of Minnesota to get these issues passed. We need everybody up on the day at the Hill. We need all veterans there.
And even more than that, if our listeners out there don't think they have time to be active in the VFW, but they're eligible, if they join, they're lending their voice, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Even with or without you up there, as the American Legion, we all have the number. And the more number we have, the better we get representation.
Well, do we get those Christmas lights on tonight and have a great Christmas down in Cannon Falls? Jim, I want to come back to you. Any final thoughts about the American Legion and your membership and what's going on in southern Minnesota this Christmas?
Well, I'd just like to wish all the veterans out there and everyone a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And this time of year, we all have a gift that we can share, and that'd be the gift of time. Just take some time out of your schedule and spend it with a veteran and listen to their story, because the stories they have of their experiences are priceless. And the time you spend them with them, you'll find out to be some real priceless time also.
And for those listeners that might be eligible to join the American Legion, same thing. They don't have to get active. They don't have to go to the events. But if they join, they lend their voice with the other voices of your membership.
Numbers count. They're very, very important.
All right, Jim, thanks. And Merry Christmas down on the farm down in southern Minnesota.
Thank you.
Greg, I want to come back to you. We've got about a minute and a half left just to sum this up. Commander's Task Force, it must be a great opportunity to get together with some great patriots and veterans and work on some veterans' issues.
Oh, it's interesting to get into the group. There's so many talented individuals that come into the CTF. They have all kinds of things to share with us, and the things that they've already accomplished is just enormous.
So it's fun to pull it together over there, and I know the commissioner attends a lot of those meetings, and he pays attention, doesn't he?
He does, and we also bring in the regional office and also the medical center staff, too. So we have it as a team.
All right, Greg, just about out of time. Any final thoughts on behalf of DAV in Minnesota at Christmas time?
No, I'd like to wish everybody Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays, too. But I do believe that everybody can make a difference, and you can make a difference in your own way. Just go out there and apply. Apply yourself to it.
Well, gentlemen, it's been a real pleasure to have all three of you in the office for our CTF Christmas show. I'm looking forward to seeing you again when we have Vets Day on the Hill and some other times during this year, and hope you all have finish off your years in office with great hope and great accomplishments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, the VFW Department Commander Dewey Hermanson, American Legion Department Camp Commander Jim Kellogg, DAV of Minnesota Department Commander Greg Remus, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week for our annual Chaplains Christmas Show, with chaplains from the Minnesota National Guard, the Minneapolis VA Hospital, and the Minneapolis Veterans Home. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.